Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you. Yes, I am, on this 18th day of July 2021. And we're going to look a little bit at who should be leading us, or do we need leaders, or whatever it is. Why are human beings, and it's always been rather interesting to me, I mean always, to observe human beings and see how they live and why they need someone to tell them what to do. You know, you need ministers or priests, or you need politicians, or you need a boss at work. And, well, you know, there's all sorts of ways that we have to be told what to do. I think a lot of it has to do with we lack common sense, really. And our hearts aren't in anything that we do unless it's something that we think will benefit us or give us some sense of either gratification or notoriety. People love to have support. They love to have what they call support. They love to have people admire them and tell them how wonderful they are, or be popular, all of that kind of stuff over and over and over again. We have seen this in history. And it really is a narcissistic kind of thing, to be honest with you. It has nothing to do with the reality of love or doing anything that is meaningful in our life. It's just about the narcissism of being popular, being someone who is important. So let's talk a little bit about this deal. I get emails from time to time about who's in charge here. And I think it's really interesting. Who is in charge? We have to have a God. Is God in charge? And how's he doing? Really, you know, look at it. He created this mess that we call our world. Actually, the world in itself is just beautiful. It's what we've made of it that is so deeply disturbing. And he created us in, supposedly, according to the Bible, in his image and his likeness. So that means, I guess he's a man? Or is he a man and a woman? Or what is he? He made woman, you know, the second little idea, because his first idea of a man wasn't very good, and he got lonely, and he needed a woman, and oh, geez. And give me a break. But anyway, that's the way we look at things, and we think God's in charge. Now, the real question is, do you need someone to be in charge of you? You need someone to tell you what the heck to do and when to do it and why you should do it and things like that. So we're going to look at all of this. Well, not all of it, but as much as we can in 20 minutes. See what's going on. The first question comes from King. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, who should be in charge of my life? God, the government, my boss, or all of them? And then he put down with a little smiley face, my wife. You do better maybe with your wife. I don't know. Who's in charge here? Really, should we have someone to answer to? And is basically what he's saying here. And it's interesting. Do you need someone to answer to? How do you know what to do with your life if someone isn't telling you what you should wear, what you should eat, how you should look, what you should drive, where you should live? Really. People have no common sense. So, King, let's look at it. Who should be basically ruling your life, guiding it? In the depths of going into meditation or inner work, one of the things you begin to realize as you go deep inside yourself is that there is something to resonate to that is different from leading your life or ruling your life. In meditation, I have found, and this is just a personal thing, I've found that the meaning of my existence is in finding the source again, finding the source of my living, finding the essence of it, and finding out what that truly means, that source, that essence, that beauty. Most of us just miss all that. We're not interested in how to actually live our own life. And I hate even saying that because it really isn't our own life. It is how to live in life, not my interpretation of my life. That would be a better way of saying it. So when we meditate, or when we start questioning everything, looking at things and looking at the world and asking ourselves, who's in charge here? What is this really all about? What am I doing? You've got to answer that question for yourself. Now, if you don't answer that question, then you're caught in the turmoil of living in other people's will and by other people's will. And that's a quagmire that people get into very quickly, very easily, because it's easier to have someone else tell you what to do and what you'll get for it than to discover maybe that which is and that which is not. That which is your authentic and that which is not your authentic. When you get down to the nitty-gritty, you have to ask yourself, did I live an authentic life? Did I live in this world in any sense of authenticity, or did I just blow it? Did I just let other people tell me what to do, when to do it, why to do it, and actually live in that kind of dictatorship, in my opinion? You know, usually the king, the person who is the strongest voice, the loudest voice, is the one that wins. So you look for people who look confident to you, or you look to people who seem to have some sense of know-it-all-ism, is what I call it. They have to be good-looking. They have to be articulate, and they have to say the right things to arouse within you some sense of emotionality. And if they can do any or all of those things put together, people like Tony Robbins, you know, guys like that, people like that. You know, there are ministers who do the same thing. They have to be very good looking. They have to be like a rock star. If they have all of that, they'll get a lot. But if you're really teaching the way, the real way, and you're saying things that are what I call anti-gravity, they don't bring you to the gravity of getting what you want and thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, then you lose your audience. You are always going to find that people are sheep, and they just follow the one that is the ideal of themselves that they're not. So they will follow people they think know better than them, have more than them, and that will be the criteria and the proof of them being the right person to deal with or the right person to become. And that's just the way we are. And we don't change from that. And we like that competition. Oh, that's what politics is all about. It doesn't matter in politics how somebody screws you, hurts you. It matters that you would do the same thing they would do if you were in that same position. And those are the people we like, generally speaking. We like people who we think are doing what we would do, or what we like, or what we think is real. Do you really need a leader? What is it about us that can't find the meaning of our existence through life itself and follow life rather than the voices that tell us that they can change our living and make our living better or make our living worse or whatever? Our standards for living in this world, in this country, are very, very dubious, to say the least. So the thing is, really, if you need a leader, you're going to find them. You're going to find someone who is the aspiration of yourself that you're not, and then you'll just go on finding that and following the herd. Or you could awaken on the inside. You could awaken to the life that lives within you and drop the ego and drop the hubris and drop the whole thing and just move into love and see where that takes you. It would be a very beautiful thing. Not going to happen, but it would be a very beautiful thing. I know it has been for me. It has changed so many things in my life. I can't tell you. And I wouldn't. You wouldn't understand. But I can tell you the basic gestalt of my life is totally different. And a part of it always has to do with how you live in that body of yours. And how you live in it, the old meat suit, has a lot to do with whether or not you need a leader or you can just be authentic. I gotta go. King, thank you for your kind comments, too. I deeply appreciate it, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next one is from Walker. He does not tell me where he lives. Why do you think, he said, we want leaders, and are you a leader? You're a teacher. Aren't you a leader, Walker? Walker, I think of myself, just off the cuff here, as a revealer. I try to reveal to people what lives within them. I try to reveal to people how they live on the inside of themselves so they don't have any questions about why this happened and why that happened and why this couldn't happen and why that other thing must have happened. I reveal to students through techniques like my Gestalt therapy, or I might use counseling. A lot of it is in counseling. The counseling thing is really, really hard for people because you have to be, if you're like myself, and they call me a teacher, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I don't think of it as a leader. I am helping them try to understand what is living latent inside them and awaken that. Now, that is really hard. And in counseling, you have to speak to people in very candid ways. If you don't, there's always the room for misinterpretation. So I'd rather have a counselee dislike me and leave because I told them the facts of their life than be one that didn't tell them and keeps them hanging on in false hope. So let's go back to the beginning. Do we need leaders? To be honest with you, we do. I mean, the level of our mentality, our mental acuity, we can't handle ourselves. We don't know what we are. We don't know who we are. We don't even know the way we are, that we need someone or people, many government usually, or religious beliefs, to tell us what to do, when to do it, and the why isn't even important. And that's really very comforting to the pedestrian mentality. They like to think that they can go to sleep at night and their quote-unquote leaders are keeping them safe in their beds and they don't have to worry about nuclear war or something like that. But we are finding out more and more as we go down the line that all of this is baloney. It doesn't really work, that our leaders are no better than our followers. And in fact, in some ways, in my opinion, this is a Greg Penn opinion based on no facts whatsoever, but what I have seen is they're worse than the people they're leading. They're much worse. So when you get down to politics, you get down to the scum of our society that has found a way to make a lot of money being an influence upon the society in order to make a lot of money for themselves. And truly, that's what it's all about. So, you know, how do you look at it? Well, yeah, we need leaders. We need people, really, we need people to screw us. We need people to do the things that we don't want done. We need opposition. And where there is opposition, there is the life that we call living, and living that is life. And it just doesn't work. It will never work. It takes integrity, kindness, love, compassion, forgiveness, and the vision to see beyond what I want for the sake of the betterment of the whole. And that's just not going to happen. Thank you, Walker, for your question. It was great. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, who or what is running this world? This is from Les in San Diego. And then he goes into some really funny jokes about it. Oh, God. Who or what is running this world? Oh, golly. Well, it's all in our imagination for the most part. Most of it has nothing to do with what is authentic and what is really happening. What you see going on in the world is the pseudo leadership of people who are trying to butter their own bread, and that's just about all it is. When you say who or what, I am assuming you're also talking about this idea of God. And people have their own ideas of God. I think in terms of the word God, totally different than anyone else. There is no God. There is no God that you would like or believe in or could understand. There is no God in your mind that could fortify or fulfill what you believe should or would or could or does happen. The God you're looking at is man-made. The God that is a totally different... it's an energy. It's a pulse. It's a beauty. It thrives on the nature of itself, which is love. And it is totally different, doesn't have the rules and the kinds of aggregates in our minds that create the ability for us to create a thought about God. The worst thing that we've ever done on this planet is we've created the idea of a God based on our thinking, our intellectual level. And because of our low mentality, our low IQ, our low acuity, and even the higher ones are just as bad in my opinion, we have created God in our image and likeness, not the way it really is. And God is that which is, that cannot be talked about, can't be explained, it's inexplicable. But when you meditate and you enter into the realm of this God that is love, through silence, absolute, utter silence, you find that God is a resonance, a tone, a deep tone, mathematics. God is everything that is. We can't wrap our head around that because our thoughts think in terms of is as things, and they're not things. God is that which is. I know that's kind of a silly it doesn't make sense to most people, and I appreciate that. But Les, that's my answer to you. It's inexplicable. And it's more important that you have the experience that is the authentic God or the authentic presence than it is for you to hear me bumble and stumble around on it based on the fact that while I have had that experience, there is no way in any way, shape, or form I can explain it through linguistics. It just isn't going to happen. Oh, I'm out of here. I want to thank you for your question, Les, and call me sometime. We'll chat. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are. Our first week in our new format. I'm grateful for it. I will be back on the air next week. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.